You are Locked On Pirates, your daily Pittsburgh Pirates podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Today's episode, of course, is brought to you by BuiltBar.com, the best tasting protein bars on the market. They are 100% chocolate covered, high in protein, high in fiber, and best of all, they're absolutely great for you. So if you're looking for a good morning snack to get your day started, or even a midday snack before dinner, you should definitely check out Built Bar. All of their flavors are amazing, and can also, along with those flavors they have all the time, they also have some limited time flavors that run out quickly at BuiltBar.com. And if you go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15, you will get 15% off of your next order, meaning you could be an existing customer of Built Bar and get a chance at tasting the best protein bars on the market. And enjoy today's episode. What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to Locked On Pirates on today's episode, Monday, May 24th. I hope you all had a fabulous weekend. And of course, you know, Mondays always means that we are joined by the wonderful Gary Morgan Jr., who, like myself, is probably kind of shell-shocked, but kind of annoyed by how the Pirates played this past weekend against Atlanta. Gary, how are you today, man? Outside of that.
Oh, I'm doing good, man. I expect them to lose. It really doesn't matter by how much. So,
yeah, when you lose 20-1, that was a little interesting. That was one of those days where I finally had off from work. I was like, yeah, I get to watch the Pirates tonight. And that happened. And it was even funnier because I have to make a joke now to my listeners that I told them to bet the Pirates in that game. So don't come to me for your betting advice. Probably not the smartest idea. But what are some takeaways from this series for you? There definitely are some, but like, what was most like out there for you in this 3-out-of-4 loss series to the Braves?
I think the thing I took away from it the most is back in 2013, the Braves made a decision to rebuild and they started selling off pieces. And this team is completely homegrown and built from the ground up, through the international signings to trading for number one picks to homegrown talent all the way around. And I mean, this is what can happen when you rebuild properly. The only thing they ever held on to was Freeman. And, you know, he's at the end of his road probably with them right now. But this is the result that you can hope for if you do it right. And they didn't even have to spend money yet. They decided to give Acuna money. They didn't have to yet. You know, it's possible. I think that's the main thing I took from it.
And I mean, for me, I mean, I know, I think I saw you tweeted out the other day that it seems like Tyler Anderson is coming back down to earth. Like, how has his trade value gotten hit over these last two starts now? I mean, I know it's only two starts, but like, he's not looking like the Tyler Anderson we saw in the first couple.
No, and I think, you know, historically he's been a little over 4 ERA guy. So, you know, he was probably pitching a little above his head. That's why I called for a correction, not because I saw what was going on, you know, in Atlanta yet. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, yeah, the Braves are going to hit people. And like Brubaker's ERA has jumped a full point in his last two starts as well. So, it is what it is. That stuff will start to adjust as it goes. As far as his overall trade value, he's still a reliable lefty that's going to give you innings. And I think that's really all he ever was. I don't think anybody was going to be under the impression they were getting Kershaw. Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't think it probably took that much of a hit.
Yeah.
Now, and I mean, he keeps piling that on. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, if this is a continuation over the next couple starts he has, like say like 3 or 2 more starts of this, like, so that'd be like 4 or 5 in a row at that point, it'd kind of be a little worrisome. And then, right. I mean, the other part of this Braves series too, is I think people also discounted the fact that the Braves came into the series really needing to have a series like this. Like, this was way more important for Atlanta than it was for Pittsburgh. I mean, they came into the series, if I'm not mistaken, 20-23. They leave it 23-24 in a much better spot. Like, they're in a much better spot now on Monday than they were when the series started on Thursday. I mean, you're only a game and a half back of the New York Mets now, and I said it before the year that I thought the Mets and the Braves are going to be the two teams in that division. And I like where your takeaway was, too, about how some people are like, well, how is this going to work for the Pirates? The Braves are probably the best example of it. I mean, as you said, just homegrown talent everywhere, added some pieces every once in a while, made a couple trades, and I really think they could still win that division. And I think the Pirates don't need to necessarily perfectly replicate their model, but they could definitely take things from what they're doing.
I mean, I don't think they could perfectly replicate it. I mean, Acuna is a, you know, a rare find in the international. You can get players very good like him, but you're not going to get that. that guy's really special. And Freddie Freeman's really special, you know, and making an early on decision to keep him on. And I mean, they're paying him $22 million a year right now.
Yeah.
That's just not in the Pirates' DNA. And I'll be honest, do they have a player that you even consider on Freddie Freeman's level that you'd want to keep in the fold for 10 years from now? Can you say that right now? Can you say that with Brian Hayes going less than 30 games so far? I can't. Yeah. Is Brian Reynolds as good as he is? Is he Freddie Freeman?
No.
I mean, he's a great player. You might want to keep him around, but he's not like Freddie Freeman.
And then it's not like you have a Marcelo Zuna or a Dansby Swanson or a whoever just sitting around waiting to. But what is sitting around is your money. And, you know, Wealthfront can help you build your savings. They manage your first $5,000 for free if you go to wealthfront.com/LockedOnMLB. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by, of course, going to wealthfront.com. It can create a portfolio of globally diversified, low-cost index funds personalized just for you in minutes. And again, that's wealthfront.com/LockedOnMLB to start growing your savings today. Also, today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. I think Gary would be pretty good at Locker Room if he ever got on there, just because it's a pretty fun little app that you can download on iOS and now Android to talk about any sports that you want. You can talk about the MLB regular season, the NBA playoffs, and the NHL playoffs are in full swing. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. Now, say that 10 times fast, right? It's really, really kind of difficult. But getting into more, I guess, positivity outside of this Braves series, Key Brian Hayes is finally on a rehab assignment again, it looks like. So what are some realistic expectations for him when he comes back? He comes back hopefully 100% healthy, hopefully in the next couple of weeks. What are some realistic expectations for him when he comes back?
I mean, play most days. I think that would be where I'd start. I don't want to see them playing him every other game and trying to slow walk back into it after having taken this much time to get him recovered. He better be fully recovered. Don't come up here and have to take a game off every other day. If that's the case, leave him in AAA till he's ready, you know? So I'd like to see him play frequently. Good defense. He's never not played good defense. And I think just be a threat in the middle of the lineup. I think even if he's just a threat, he doesn't have to have big numbers right away, but just having that threat will get better pitches for everyone else.
Yeah, and then, of course, we've also spoken about another player who's been on the IL for a minute, Colin Moran. And I know we've spoken on this before, but the offense obviously is struggling right now. It's going to struggle even when I think Hayes and Moran come back. But could you at least see – and I think it's kind of an obvious answer, but could you at least see the offense taking a little bit of an uptick when both of those guys get back in the lineup?
Sure. Yeah. I think that we'll win a little bit more of these 5-3 games, you know, instead of three runs being a death sentence, you might be looking at more like, oh, we're still in this one. You know, we still got that top five of the lineup. And then you can throw in your occasional pitch-ins from Jacob Stallings or whoever else, Kevin Newman chips in here and there, whatever. It's not the way it is right now. You have five legitimate hitters again. So, yeah, the offense is going to take a bit of an uptick.
And I think it's great, too, because we talk about how bad the offense is as a whole, but then you look at Brian Reynolds and Adam Frazier. Reynolds actually, I believe MLB Stats tweeted this today, leads the entire league in doubles. And then I'm thinking Adam Frazier is still up there in average. I know he leads average in second baseman, and I believe he leads in multi-hit games.
He leads in hits, period.
Oh, well, there you go. But if you add a Hayes and a Colin Moran to that mix, I think you're right. I think having good, like at least four or five bats in the lineup again will be a lot better than just having pretty much two as of right now. And then I know this question's kind of on the other side of things, but let's say Hayes comes back, plays really well. Is there any chance he could still contend or win Rookie of the Year at this point, or has he missed too much time?
Yeah, it's still early enough. I mean, you're right now in the wheelhouse of where a lot of bigger prospects won't get caught up until now for Super 2.
Yeah.
So, you know, like Wander Franco in Tampa will probably get caught up in early June, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, yes, it's very possible. But would he would have to kind of hit like his hair was on fire, I think. Yeah. I really do. He had a little head start, if only because people were mentioning his name before the season. But, you know, he's got a little ways to go. There's a few players that are kind of starting to put their stamp on things already. So.
Oh, yeah. And then kind of an aside as well, I saw that Jason Mackey from the Post-Gazette actually tweeted out today that Charrington told 93.7 The Fan that he's listing Miguel Yajure, Cody Ponce, and Chase DeJong, or Young. How do you pronounce his last name?
DeJong,
okay, as options to start Tuesday. So of those three guys, I mean, I'm assuming you'd want like Yajure to start again, or would you want to see what Ponce or DeJong can do?
Well, I like Cody Ponce a lot. I don't want anybody coming up that doesn't have options left. So DeJong's out for me, because mm-hmm. I think you're going to have to send them back. When you have Broughton, Cole, and Soriano all on their way up. So I would stick with Yajure just to keep myself flexible. Ponce, you'd be able to send back down. He is on the 40. He's another option. But Yajure's already been pitching. I think he would be on 4 days rest.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably who I would go with.
Yeah, and I mean, I really enjoy seeing like an instant impact from that Yankees trade, and Yajure, of course, is like the only guy as of right now that's going to give that to you. And you look at what he's done, too. I mean, in most of his starts, he's looked pretty solid. And to me, unlike Mitch Keller, he goes out there with a confidence about him. He just kind of goes out there, does his thing, places the pitches where they need to go. And if he gets a little bit rattled, he bounces back. That's what I've seen from him a lot. And I think we've also talked about this before also, but I mean, it's pretty safe to say that he's going to be like a mainstay in this rotation by year's end, I would assume.
I would think so, yeah. It's really disingenuous and difficult to say he's not one of the best five right now. I don't know how they get to the end of the year without admitting that and leaving him up here. And I think once you get past the trade deadline, a lot of decisions that don't make sense now are going to start to make sense. You know, he'll get his playing time. If nothing else, they're keeping his innings down by doing this. So I'm okay with the treatment so far. Like, I'm not getting like super upset that they're not calling him up, but especially since he thinks Cahill's injury is short. But a lot of people have seen enough of Cahill, so.
Yeah, and I mean, I've also seen enough of Cahill. It's not like the Tyler Anderson situation where you can, like, offload him somewhere, because let's be honest, he hasn't been playing that great, so I don't think anybody's going to really take him. Speaking of Key Brian Hayes, while we're recording, we're actually recording a day before, but he actually doubled and scored today in Indianapolis. That's, like, not even, like, a minute or two ago, so. Nice to see him coming back. And I mean, I bet him to win Rookie of the Year, just like if you want to bet on sports every day, You should check out betonline.ag. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust here at the Locked On Sports Network. That is betonline.ag. If you sign up for your free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON in all caps, you'll get a 50% welcome bonus for your first deposit when you bet on the NHL playoffs, the NBA playoffs, Major League Baseball regular season games, football futures, all kinds of different stuff, soccer, USC, MMA. You can do it all at betonline.ag and let them know that the Locked On Podcast Network sent you. And moving into our final segment today, I mean, what's going on in baseball that has kind of caught your eye lately, just in general?
Well, despite what we just watched, the hitting being down everywhere. It was really hard to watch that Atlanta series and think that's true, but nobody's hitting really in baseball. Yeah. And I guess the latest excuse I've heard for it is that pitchers were able to practice their craft a lot better than hitters were during the shutdown time. But I don't know. I mean, something's going on with the baseball too, I think. And there's got to be something there that will come out. Either that or they really need to crack down on this, on the sticky substance that's going around, because the spin rates are out of control across baseball.
Yeah. And I mean, it's the whole no hitter thing has gone pretty crazy. I mean, I'm not discounting no hitters still. Like, I'm not really saying like, oh, no hitters are just a commonplace now, but now that they've been happening like almost every other week, there's obviously something going on with the baseball. Like, there really is. Like, and I mean, that's where I say now, like, I had a question in a mailbag from Friday where somebody said, who has the most trade value on the Pirates? And I said, Adam Frazier, mainly purely off the fact that he's just hitting the baseball and there's not a ton of guys in the league doing it right now. So he might actually be super valuable if he keeps his pace going up. And, you know, it's just something that you have to kind of look into and say, how is the trade deadline going to be affected with, are teams going to go more hitter reliant or are they going to try to go more pitching reliant in terms of the moves they make?
I mean, I think relievers are always still going to be a hot commodity because bullpens are still a mess across the league too, despite what we're seeing. I mean, most of the offense that we are seeing is coming against bullpens. You know, the starting pitching has really been pretty good league wide. So, it's a weird season so far, but I do think it'll even out. I think a lot of us, because of the 60-game season, are a little messed up with our clocks. You know, we kind of are forgetting. It's late May. A lot of the time, these guys don't heat up till June, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe we're all kind of jumping the gun and we're stuck on last year's clock a little bit.
Yeah, and then I mean also, and I know you love mentioning this, the Pirates literally only need to win two more games to surpass their win total from last year. So, I mean, that's also a very solid point. And I also had kind of a hot take that I think there's not going to be a no-hitter again for a while. Not on purpose or anything. Like, it's not just going to be like, all of a sudden they can't do it anymore. I think there will be, like, maybe one or two more. I just don't expect there to be like the influx of so many happening at one time. Like, and that's where I kind of feel like that kind of gets into it. And I mean, again, as you said, it might be taking batters a little more time to get heated up. A lot of these pitchers too that are doing it either got called up to the majors this year and had a full year off and didn't have to reset their clock. So they're on the full 162 game clock. Meanwhile, these hitters who all played last year, I mean, the season was almost over at this point with based on records last year.
Yeah, it's a guess game. I mean, why it's going this way, but I think the only tangible evidence is really the spin rates are up, and it's not even drastic enough that I can say, oh yeah, it's definitely spin rate. But I can say spin rates are up across the league because it's measurable. Mm-hmm. I can say balls aren't getting hit as far because it's measurable. And I think there are a lot of home runs that are dying on the track this year.
Yeah.
And with everybody swinging for the fences, it leads to less offense, you know? So again, despite what we just watched in Atlanta this weekend, because everything they touched went out. I mean, yeah, Dansby Swanson hitting him off of his ankles, you know? So who knows?
Yeah, and I mean, it's funny, too. I saw another stat that the Braves broke, I think, the record for the most home runs in a series or something. And then I saw that the Pirates total on the year is 30, and the Braves hit 14 in the series. And I was just like, very interesting stuff. I mean, there's not a lot of power on this team. And I mean, I guess kind of an aside question is, like, eventually, where is that power going to – not this year, obviously, but if ever, where is that power going to come from in the system?
I mean, I always warn people, don't start naming future lineups and pretending that you know what's going to happen. But I like Herman, Mason Martin, Nick Gonzalez. They have a lot of guys with some pop. Mm-hmm. They don't have a lot of guys that are going to beast mode home runs all day. Mason Martin's your best bet for, you know, a 30 to 40 home run guy. O'Neill Cruz is probably a good 25 to 30 home run guy. You know, if he can figure it out, he still has some work to do too. Nick Gonzalez will hit home runs. I just don't think he's going to hit 40. You know, he's not going to be that kind of guy. No. But I think he can contribute. You have a lot of guys with pop, and that's what you need. Like the Braves, that lineup, they're not all going to hit 30, 40 home runs.
No.
That's not what they are, despite what we just watched. But everyone in the lineup is capable of hitting one out. Pirates can't say that right now. And I mean, that's just reality. That's a different team in a different stage. That's where it is. Where the power comes from is developing the power that you have. The few that they have with the tools, I mean, I mentioned them. Those are the ones that are closest. Mm-hmm. Mojica's really got more than anybody in the entire system, but he's so far away, I hesitate to even mention it, you know?
And then I always I saw that, I believe it was Bleacher Report actually did an article the other day about talking about when would the playoff droughts for some of these teams end. And they put 2025 for the Pirates, 4 years from now. Do you think that's pretty accurate?
I think it's safe.
Safe.
I'd probably say, I always tell people next year, you'll start to see a little bit of some of the youth coming up. 2023, they should be a lot of fun to watch. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to start being interesting. Maybe they even fool you into thinking they're going to contend. 2024, they really should kind of be starting to contend. So we'll see. 2025 will work too. It's in that window somewhere. 2025 is a lot safer than saying 2024.
And as you always say, you never know if they're going to all pan out. You know, I do like that about you, is like whenever I was in high school, when I was like looking over the Pirates and stuff, I'd see they had, oh, wow, they have a top 10 farm system. All these guys are going to be great. And then I'd never hear about them and be like, wow, what happened to this guy? Like, it's really good to look at it in the sense that, yeah, you have all these pitchers and all these players in the farm system, but you're lucky if you get three or four good ones. Like, it's the way it is.
It's the hardest league in the entire world to go from draft to pro. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, you're a pro right away, but from draft to the top end of the league, it's the hardest league in the world to do so in.
Oh, yeah.
So
any final thoughts on the Buccos or the baseball world in general going into this upcoming week?
Yeah, the Buccos should be a flurry of moves happening this week. You know, you have Evans eligible to come back off the IL today, actually. Moran's really close, I believe, Wednesday or Thursday. I believe Chad Kuhl is throwing one more pitch outing. He should be really close as well. You should start to see a flurry of moves start to happen real soon here, and it might be it for Cole Tucker before he even gets a start. Will Craig is an interesting decision. He's actually not done too bad. He's played really good defense. He's hit about 260. He's not really giving you any pop, but in this lineup, 260 is kind of sexy compared to 205. So I don't know. They might have to think about that, although he has no place to play.
If this Moran's is very back. True.
So we'll see what happens. It's going to be an interesting decision.
Oh, yeah. And Gary, once again, thank you so much for coming on, as always, for all of my listeners. Make sure you check out the Locked On Today podcast for all of your needs for all of your sports in under 20 minutes every single morning, Monday through Friday. Gary, where can they find your work and all of your other stuff outside of coming on here every Monday?
InsideTheBucksBasement.com is where I write about the Pirates. On DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcasting Network, I do a fan forum for the Pirates and the Penguins now. That just launched this weekend, so check those out.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, you guys can follow me at MVP_Ethan on Twitter or at Locked On Pirates for the show page. We will, of course, be back with our series preview tomorrow against the Chicago Cubs, who we have an off day today, but tomorrow we kick off that four-game set against Chicago. I might try to get our new Locked On Cubs host on, so be on the lookout for that. And thank you guys so much.